Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters, where we engage in open dialogue on complex and important life issues, equipping Christians to discuss these topics and take meaningful action in the pro-life movement. I'm your host, Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center. Today, we're joined by a leader whose mission is strengthening and unifying life-affirming work across Nebraska. Jennifer Gutierrez is the president and CEO of the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance, an organization that exists to support, resource, and equip Nebraska pregnancy help organizations across the state. From medical clinics and maternity homes to adoption and family services, these life-affirming centers provide women with compassionate care and real alternatives to abortion. Jennifer is also the president of JAG Consulting, a firm that helps nonprofit and faith-based organizations build capacity, develop leadership, and create strategic impact. Jennifer is a trusted voice in the pro-life movement. Jennifer, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks so much, Toni, for having me.
That's good to have you here. So let's start by helping our listeners get to know you a bit. Can you share a little bit about your background?
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in Omaha, the oldest of six kids. I met my husband at UNL when we were undergraduates. He was actually an international student from Guatemala. We married, we lived in Guatemala for a couple of years and worked in development, economic development there for the poor, and really have just been in the public relations strategic planning sphere. And my husband, Juan Carlos, and I have eight kids ranging in age from 28 to 12.
Wow, you're a busy lady. So what first drew you to pro-life work?
The very first thing was really the modeling of my parents' love of service, not only being the oldest of six kids and seeing and experiencing what healthy family life looked like and a love and witnessing that love between my parents. Both of my parents were in helping professions. So my mom was an RN and she actually worked in skilled nursing care at Skyline Manor. And, I remember we would be going to bed around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and she would be getting on her nurse's uniform and her thermos of coffee, and she would work from 10 to 6 in the morning and get back before my dad went to work. And somehow she was up in the morning, and she did that for a good number of years. My dad led the American Cancer Society. Okay. In Nebraska for 20 years. Wow. And in other states too. But one of the things that really struck me about my dad's love of pro-life work, again, not only family, but really personally helping people suffering from cancer. Mm-hmm. And so even though he did the CEO type things, like he brought the Cattleman's Ball to Nebraska and other things like that. Yeah. But he also, on Saturday mornings, I would go with my dad to the ACS office and we'd pick up a portable hospital bed and he would take it personally to somebody's house who wasn't able to walk up the stairs anymore to their bedroom and help set up the bed in their living room. And so it really was that love for people and that pro-life love that I learned from my parents.
Wow. That's really great to hear. I think sometimes we don't always have those examples in our homes of service. And so not only did you learn the value of pro-life, but you also learned how to serve. And you do that in a great capacity for us here in Nebraska. You currently lead the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance, of which Assure Women's Center is a member. And I'm also on the board. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance and why it was founded?
Yes. So it is quite a story, actually, of the Holy Spirit. And I'll keep it brief. Toni, you already know this story. But it was actually almost 5 years ago. And I contacted, actually, Laura Buddenberg at EPS because of a business arrangement that I had. And the day that I contacted her, EPS had been encountering some real difficulties with abortion activists that week. And at the end of our conversation, and again, Laura and I had never met before. Mm. We were just talking on the phone. And at the end of that conversation, Laura said, I wish that I could call other pregnancy centers across the state to warn them about what happened to us. Mm. And she said, I don't even know who they are. And so we hung up and I thought about it. And a couple of days later, I called Laura and I said, well, would you be willing to have a conversation about this? And so then Laura and I, over the next couple of months, developed a concept and then made all kinds of cold calls, including to you, Tony, about whether you'd be willing to have a conversation. Yeah. Yeah. And the yeses were incredible from executive directors across the state. So as you know, we developed a working group, and the very first meeting, I was really nervous. I thought, this is a make it or break it moment. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting maybe the executive directors to say, this is a good proposal. Let's talk about it more, or we should form a coalition. Mm-hmm. And all of you adamantly said, we don't want a coalition. We want a 501c3 nonprofit, and this mm-hmm. is what we want to do. Yeah. And so that was the beginning. And then we became officially a nonprofit on July 15th, 2021.
Yeah. I remember that call I got from when Laura at EPS then, she was executive director then, were having issues. I was actually on vacation at the Grand Canyon. I remember getting that call from her. And then things, you know, I weren't called back and told my center what was happening. But someone recently asked me what made me want to be a part of the, you know, Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance. And I said, because Laura called me. You know? So it's definitely been needed. And I think that's one thing that sometimes people in other states are surprised. I feel like we have a good relationship between pregnancy care centers here in Nebraska. And we're all working for the same thing. We may do things in a different manner, but there's truly a sister or brotherhood among the pregnancy centers here in Nebraska.
Absolutely.
So there are many pregnancy help organizations, and I kind of go between pregnancy help organizations and pregnancy resource centers. But pregnancy help organizations is probably a better word because it incorporates more than just pregnancy centers.
Yes, it's a word, pregnancy help organization, the Charlotte Lozier Institute uses it, yeah. And it's to really as an umbrella to encompass pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes, and life-affirming social services entities and adoption Absolutely. Entities. And in Nebraska, the thing is, PHO really fits us best mm-hmm. because there are states that maybe have 150 pregnancy centers alone. Yeah. Yeah. And in Nebraska, we're just not set up that way. So yeah. PHO really works to bring all of us together.
Absolutely. So I catch myself every now and then when I say something other than pregnancy help organization, I'm trying. But we have many pregnancy help organizations across Nebraska, from Omaha to the southwest corner of the state in Ogallala, Gearing, and McCook. Can you tell us about the diversity of those organizations and the different ways they strive to serve women and families?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is that each pregnancy help organization, they're in solidarity with each other, but they each have their own autonomy and subsidiarity. And so they really tailor the needs to their own community and what they need. So, for example, some PHOs offer the whole gamut, you know, material support and medical support and counseling, and others really tailor it to what's in their community already. So, for example, in Superior, the pregnancy center there, you walk across the parking lot and the hospital's there.
Oh.
So basically, they don't provide ultrasounds in their center. Mm-hmm. They focus on material support and parenting classes yeah. and things like that. And they just make the appointment for the woman who comes in, and she just walks about 100 feet over to the hospital. So I think that's really something important, particularly because Nebraska is such a diverse place.
Yeah.
And McCook is different from Hastings, which is different from O'Neill and different from Ashur here in Omaha.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So how many pregnancy centers are there? Pregnancy help? Well, we'll say pregnancy centers. How many pregnancy centers are there across the state of Nebraska? I think sometimes people don't realize how many we have.
Well, so we have 28 locations across mm-hmm. the state. And when I say locations, there are some maybe like Ashur or EPS or Collage that have a couple of locations. Mm-hmm. But And again, that includes maternity homes, and sometimes they just really overlap. Mm-hmm. So we have 28 with three to come, nice. Three locations to come. So more information on that will be coming nice. Soon.
Good, good. So how are these organizations making an impact in Nebraska?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to look at this in two ways. I think at a micro level and a macro level. So first of all, we make a difference one woman at a time.
Absolutely.
So Mother Teresa always said, never worry about numbers. She said, mm-hmm. help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest to you. And so how does that work? I think about Lee Redinger, who's the executive director of Pathways in Ogallala. And so Pathways covers a 7-county region.
Mm.
Lee is the executive director, and she has a part-time administrative assistant, and the rest are volunteers. And Lee said once, in many different ways, but the one I remember was, she said, if a woman comes here, we are going to serve her, mm-hmm. including from across the border in Colorado.
Yeah.
We will serve her. And so when I talk about tailoring it to mm-hmm. the woman, she shared with us the story of a woman who came in. She was pregnant. She had 2 young children, and she lived 2 hours away from Pathways. Mm. And she was also trying to get a certification from the community college that was close by. And she wanted to participate in parenting classes, mm-hmm. but just couldn't drive the 2 hours
mm-hmm.
every week. Mm-hmm. And so the board of Pathways Pregnancy Center approved the purchase of a laptop computer
oh, wow.
to give to this woman mm. so she could take those courses, the parenting classes, she could Zoom with Lee, and she could even, you know, and she could be with her kids, and she could even take those classes at the community college wow. online. Wow. And there are so many beautiful stories of that. So that's the first, I think, again, going back micro level, one woman at a time, tailoring it to that person. But the second, if we want to look at statewide impact and the big numbers. Mm-hmm. So in partnership with NPCA, the Charlotte Lozier Institute published in September 2024 numbers and data from the services that the pregnancy help organizations across the state provide.
Yeah.
And this was for data for 2022 because it takes, you know, it
takes some time.
Takes some time to get that data. But I actually, there's so much I could read to you, but I'll just give you the top ones, everybody. Total estimated materials and services provided by pregnancy centers in Nebraska was over $5 million mm-hmm. in 2022, provided at no cost.
No cost.
No cost. Mm-hmm. Serving almost 10,000 women, men, and youth.
Wow.
And more numbers, but I'll just give three more. 40,596 total client sessions, both in person and virtually across the state. Over 4,000 free ultrasounds. And more.
Wow.
So that's the statewide impact of what our PHOs do every day, again, at no cost,
yeah.
at no cost to the moms.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I appreciate the story you shared, because I think one of the criticisms that sometimes pregnancy help organizations get is that we're only concerned about the baby. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the truth. And so just that's a great example of how, you know, one pregnancy center in a rural Nebraska went out of their way to give someone that's 2 hours away from them a laptop so that they can improve the lives of for them and their children as well. And so
yes,
it just speaks volumes to what we really do in the pro-life movement. It's not just about the baby. Yes, that baby is important. Yes, that mom is important. But we do so much more.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Assure Women's Center is a nationally recognized pro-life pregnancy center based in Omaha, Nebraska. Did you know that you can connect with Life Matters online? You can find all of our previous episodes to review for yourself or share with the people in your life by visiting firststeptolife.com/Life Matters or on Facebook at First Step to Life Omaha. Sharing our episodes and encouraging us with a positive comment is a completely free way that you can help us get the pro-life message out to more people.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, and we're continuing our conversation with Jennifer Gutierrez, President and CEO of the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance, which exists to unify and strengthen the work of life-affirming organizations across the state. Jennifer, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
So one of your key goals is to unify organizations. What are some of the benefits that come when pregnancy centers, maternity homes, and other life-affirming agencies work together as a network?
So one of our PHR directors, she, you know, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Mm. And the number one thing that we hear again and again and again from the PHOs across the state, in particular, I'd say the ones that are maybe west of Hastings, mm-hmm. Is that I don't feel alone anymore.
Yeah.
They're very isolated. In fact, I mentioned that NPCA was founded almost 4 years ago. The month that we were founded, Birthright and Shadron closed. Mm. And that was such a great loss. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing. They don't feel alone. Well, why don't they feel alone anymore? Because we do provide training, resources, and support to constantly bring them together. So they'll not only forge collaborative partnerships and be able to pick up the phone,
yeah.
but what I've now seen over the last, especially last 2 years, mm-hmm. is as NPCA has facilitated the building of these relationships and frankly, the trust
yeah.
Between the PHOs, because like you said, everybody does things in a different way.
Yeah.
I have now seen, which is great, NPC almost being taken out of the equation, and different PHOs calling each other and saying, could you send me mm-hmm. your job descriptions?
Yeah.
Or I really need help with my board mm-hmm. and working with my board.
Yeah.
And we help with that too. But, you know, the boots on the ground executive directors are also experts and model what mm-hmm. excellence is across the state. So there are a lot of direct service things that we do to help that, but there have been a lot of fruits that have come from that organically
yeah.
that are now really starting to bloom.
Yeah. Well, those connections with the EDs would not have occurred without you, you know, letting us know who's there, you know, because I didn't know. I mean, I know probably maybe six pregnancy centers that across the state. But now, in fact, I was at a conference recently and someone was saying, this is the only pregnancy center in Nebraska. I said, no, I'm not. You know? I mean, it was great that she knew it was sure, but I'm like, no, I'm not. She's like, really? I said, no, we have the pregnancy centers across the state. People just don't know what, mm-hmm. if you're not in your community, you don't know what exists outside your community.
Exactly.
And so we wouldn't know, you know, I wouldn't have those connections to Superior and some of those other cities if you weren't, you know, there to bridge the gap. So you're doing a phenomenal job.
Thanks.
So the Nebraska Pregnancy Care Alliance doesn't just connect these groups. You also provide support. What kinds of resources or training does NPCA offer to help pregnancy centers grow and thrive?
Sure. So I'd say there are four key areas. Mm-hmm. The first one that really helps to just constantly cultivate those relationships is our monthly Think Tank Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And that's a monthly roundtable that I facilitate, an executive level roundtable that I facilitate the last Thursday of each month. Pregnancy center leadership, such as executive directors, but nurse managers and leaders, they come on and sometimes questions are submitted ahead of time anonymously, but we really talk about what is happening in real time across the state. And some of the questions that are asked of each other may seem very simple, but make a big impact for maybe some of the smaller centers. Mm-hmm. But also there are some major things that are discussed that are confidential that are happening
yeah.
real time, pretty big challenges
yeah.
that are discussed that, again, in a facilitated 1 hour session, it's over lunch, noon to one. I'm not sure how many of our PHO directors actually have lunch anymore. I they just seem to be going a mile a minute.
Meeting.
Exactly. So that's one thing we do. We also do quarterly training tables.
Mm-hmm.
And those trainings are completely informed by the needs of the center. So topics have ranged from, we had a legal team from Texas talk to us about HIPAA mm-hmm. and what pregnancy centers, PHOs need to know. We had an expert talk to us about how to work with the media and also when not to.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can say no.
Yeah.
And so all of these trainings, again, they're quarterly, are informed by the PHOs. Then third thing, strategic planning and consultation. So, mm-hmm. Tony, as you know, that's my background, mm-hmm. Assessment and strategic planning. And so we provide consultation in different ways. I did a visioning and strategic planning with a working group in Falls City and Auburn. And last summer, they opened Blessed Beginnings, which is a new 501c3 PHO. They've got an executive director and programs. They're working on brick and mortar. So we do that and provided consultation to Wellspring and Hastings and just about a number of things. And a little over a month ago, they moved into a bigger location and had their grand opening. So lastly, one of the things we've really been working on is the difference between policy and politics with the PHOs, because great policy, whether it's state or federal policy, does great things for women and families. And so we work closely with Nebraska Family Alliance, Nebraska Catholic Conference, and lawmakers just to provide information about what's happening. And so two great things we're really proud of. One is the Pregnancy Help Act, which was passed in 2024. And so executive directors of PHOs helped advise on this language, what would be best. They testified on behalf of it. And now basically what happens is the Nebraska legislature, through the 2024 Pregnancy Help Act, authorized non-refundable tax credits for Nebraska taxpayers who donate to approved life-affirming pregnancy help organizations. So the act basically aims to encourage private giving to life-affirming entities. And I'll tell you, the first year, the allotment was $500,000. That was gone in about 2 weeks. And next year, it'll be $1 million.
Nice.
And then last but not least, we had last August, the first governor roundtable in the history of the state and in the country, the first time that a governor of a state had ever met with executive directors of pregnancy help organizations. And we held that at a pregnancy center, at Lincoln Pregnancy Center. And Governor Pillen was there. And there were directors from all across the state just saying, this is what's happening. And connecting them with our governor.
Nebraska truly is a pro-life state.
Yes.
And, you know, just the fact that we have people in positions that can help with those policies in a positive way that speaks to life-affirming work is just tremendous. And, you know, I've been a part of those Think Tank Thursdays and the quarterly trainings, and they really do make a difference. There are some questions. I mean, I'm constantly learning from them as well. And the services that those Think Tank Thursdays and those quarterlies provide for even those smaller centers is tremendous. And so once again, you're doing a phenomenal work, and we're just glad to be, I'm going to say, just riding along with you on this journey.
Well, it's really inspiring, and it's such a pleasure to serve you and the other centers, because you're doing amazing work.
Well, thank you. You know, pregnancy centers across the country face many challenges, and some of those challenges we see here in Nebraska as well. What challenges have you heard from other pregnancy help organizations across the state? What challenges do you see us facing, and how is NPCA helping those Nebraska pregnancy help organizations stay strong and effective in face of those challenges?
Okay. Well, I warn you, this may be a really long answer because it's really important. So, this may be a two-part or three-part interview. I may spend the next 30 minutes on this.
We okay?
So I think the first challenge is believing that the fight is over. This fight is not over. What happened, and I'll tell you what Dobbs actually did in 2022. But after Dobbs happened, there were donors and volunteers and other pro-life stakeholders across the state that said, whew, our job is done. We're saved. No, we're not saved. Right. So what happened with Dobbs was that the decision overturned the constitutional right to abortion that established in Roe v. Wade. And they did return the authority back to the states. But what that meant was that each state can set its own abortion policies without a federal standard protecting abortion access. But then what happened next is the real story, because the states were flooded with millions and millions and millions of abortion activist dollars. And frankly, this had a huge impact all across the country, but and on large states like Ohio, but on states like Nebraska and South Dakota that have smaller populations, smaller capacity to fight these things. It was overwhelming and it was very difficult to, and it was discouraging and very difficult to maintain that hope when that was happening. And so the fact of the matter is that, you know, places, you know, those constitutional amendments, it failed in Ohio, in Colorado, you can have abortion up to birth.
Yeah.
So I think that's was the very first challenge. And that's one that keeps coming up in different ways.
I agree with you.
This fight isn't over.
I agree with you. I'm glad you said that, because I think back to when Roe fell, and so many of the conversations I had where people were thinking, oh no, you know, abortion is now illegal. Like, no, it's not. And so, you know, once again, just being able to articulate that to people who think, you know, that it is, and I still feel like, I mean, that was a couple of years ago, but I still feel like it's something that needs to be reiterated constantly. This is not over.
Yes.
It's not over at all. We still have some fight.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, that just, we can't rest on our laurels. We've got to keep going, and we have to try to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
I think the second challenge, again, people think, well, this is over, and it's not over. And so I'd say, in quotation marks, attacks against pregnancy help organizations by abortion activist entities, both locally and nationally. And by attacks, I'm not necessarily talking about physical attacks, but I'm talking about things that will drain the resources of the PHO so they can't exist anymore. So two examples.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Jennifer Gutierrez.
We want to thank you for joining us on Life Matters this week. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.